Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Brett and Kyle with me today. Got back to our normal trio, and we are continuing our series on the book of Ephesians, and we're following up on Pastor Ross gave a message this past Sunday on Ephesians chapter 4 verses 17 through 32. And so we're going to be following up with some commentary on that and also some things that stood out from the Bible reading from last week. There were certain things that I guess Kyle can attest to. When you're doing sermon prep, you have to pick and choose what you're going to highlight and focus on, because sometimes there's just so much in there that can't cover everything, or you could do a little bit about everything, or you can do spend a lot of focus time on a few things. So I think there were a few things that we noticed that kind of stood out to us too, that we wanted to dig in a little bit deeper, but we'll get to that a little bit later. But it does seem that Paul does spend a lot of time in, so far in what we've been reading throughout the whole book, talking about this old man, new man identity issue, you know, that we kind of spent a lot of time as a church talking about, you know, it was like the first 10 years we spent on that. And it seems like Paul's doing that same thing in this book. So is there anything about the old man, new man that stood out to you guys in reading verses, or chapter 4, verses 17 through 32?
Sorry, I'm just looking at the verses again to be specific. I mean, it's he highlights just that there is this like dichotomy of the old self and new self, but there's a choice, right? What are we going to align ourselves with? What are we going to kind of pursue? Are we going to just kind of drift back to the old habits, the old ways, or are we going to push forward into the new life and the new identity that we have?
I think one thing that I found interesting in, I think, just growing up and learning and having a better understanding of this idea is, I think it's similar to what you said about the choice. Like, you can know it, but then how does that translate to how you're, like, living your life, right? Because you can, like, I know Jesus saved me. I know I'm forgiven of my sins. But then when you live your life, like, do your actions and the way that you live your life, like, follow that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a tricky part. That's another caveat in it that's, like, you can know it and you can understand it, which is good, and we need to believe it and embrace it, and then we need to live it out.
And until you're taking steps to live it out, it's truth, but it's not active. It's not activated or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What you gonna do about it, right, Brett?
Yeah, what you gonna do about it?
I think for me, one of the things that stood out, especially in the beginning part of this section, is he talks about the concept of putting off the old self and putting on the new. And it really reminded me of when we went through the cleansing seminar as a church. So if you haven't heard of the cleansing seminar, or if that's a new concept for you, it's actually a series that was developed by Pastor Timothy Davis, and it helps you to, or helps people to understand what this concept is of living in the new self and walking in the Spirit. That's really what his focus is to help people to walk in the Spirit. And one of the initial concepts is walking in alignment.
Right? So, but it's walking in the Spirit as opposed to walking in
The flesh.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, prior to becoming a Christian, that was the normal way of life for people, right? Is to live in the flesh and
which
walk
is
in the
like
flesh.
Our soul, right?
Our soul and our earthly desires.
Our mind, our emotions, our will, like that's the dominant part, right?
Yeah. So the concept that he's talking about that helps us to walk in the Spirit is to walk in alignment, which is allowing our spirit, which has become alive in Christ, to lead the way instead of our soul, right? And so in this section, when he's talking about putting off the old self and putting on the new, really it just reminded me of that, allowing our spirit to take the lead for us, because our spirit is the one that's able to communicate with the Lord, hear the Lord's voice. Otherwise, if we're living out of our soul, then our soul is kind of the filter through which our spirit is able to move. And so we're filtering everything through our soul as opposed to hearing everything with our spirit. And so that's really the imagery that I got when I was reading this and when Pastor Ross was talking about it, is Are we living out of our soul or are we living out of our spirit? And when we live out of our spirit, then we're really able to step into who God made us to be.
Mm-hmm. That's it? Okay. I thought you had more.
Well, I feel like the tricky part too is like the concept of putting off your old self and putting on your new self. Like, it's not, I know earlier I talked about like, oh, what are you going to do about it? But I think even the idea of putting off your old self, like, it requires, like, even the phrase putting off your old self, like, it requires, like, action to, like, actually do that, right? Like, even though we know that Jesus died for us and, like, there's times where, like, we actually have to die to ourselves. We have to make that choice, do those things, like, go through cleansing seminar, or that's why I'm thankful for our church that like we've talked about it a lot and we focus on it, but it's not just like, okay, but then everybody in congregation is just left to figure it out. Right. It's like there's people, there's, you know, prayer ministry, there's these different classes or different things to help us learn how to do those things so that we can then walk in the ways that like we're talking about in our identity and things like that. It's not just something where, okay, this is what it is. All right, now everybody just, you're your new self. Mm-hmm. There is an aspect of that, but there's also a fine line of like, well, there, because, you know, we are born to this earth, there is sin and there's things that we need to actively like put off, so to say, in these verses. And so I know for me, it's not something that I always recognized or maybe even took for granted, but I'm thankful for, you know, our church and just the willingness to walk with people in that way so we can do those things and we can help people. I mean, the mission of our church to help people walk in their new self, essentially.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, and I think Ross touched on this, in between the part talking about putting off your old self and putting on your new self, it's shifting the attitude of your mind. So it's an attitude shift. It's a mindset shift. Those can sound maybe cliche or whatever, like, oh yeah, I understand that. But really it's a total shift of, I'm going to see this different. Kind of like you were describing, Damon, about the alignment thing. I'm going to purposefully be more connected with my spirit, or let my spirit be in the front so that it can connect with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to use that as my filter, but it's not something that just happens because you know it's supposed to be the right way. It's like you were saying, Brett, it takes steps, it takes actions, and it really, you have to have purpose. I mean, just to jump into coaching, like when we coach baseball, like kids are out there just warming up and throwing. Like, yeah, you can warm up and throw and you're doing some good, you're getting your arm loose, but if you're not doing it with proper mechanics, then the purpose isn't really there. You're going to pick up bad habits. So you're doing a good thing, but you're not doing it the right way. It's going to lead to so-so or maybe even bad results. So especially our pitchers, I'm like, hey, warm up with purpose. Like, make your mechanics come out in your warm up, because that's going to help you later.
Hit the target.
Totally. Like,
don't just throw wherever.
Totally. I'm like, hey, give them different targets so they're aiming and stuff. But it's hard because the kids just, they think of warm ups as goof around time. And I want them to have fun, but it's like, but do it with purpose. You can still have a good attitude. You can still have fun. But make sure your focus is a certain way so that you get the results. And I think in our Christian life too, we can know it, and not that the Christian life needs to be dull or like boring or even difficult, but we have to have purpose and we have to have intention to get the results that we want.
Kind of going back to what you had mentioned about a mindset shift, you kind of had a recent mindset shift after Martha prayed for you, right?
All right, yeah, we can go to that. all right, you guys ready for the long episode? No. I'll have to give you the skinny version. Okay, so on this past Sunday, Martha had a vision, and it was for somebody in a green shirt. And so I was one of the few people wearing a green shirt. And
you would think on St. Patrick's Day, more people would be wearing a green shirt. Weren't.
And so then it was somebody else she saw, and she's like, no, it's not that person. And then she saw me, and she's like, oh, it's for him. So it was cool. Like, it was... the vision part isn't necessarily tied into this, but it meant some things, so it was good. I'm not going to spend time on that. But then afterwards, we were talking about a mindset shift that she's been having lately is focusing on being thankful in difficult and trying circumstances, not just being thankful when things are going good. And so I told her that resonated with me, and she actually had prayed for my parents the week before and kind of shared something similar. So we were talking through that stuff, and I actually was sharing that we're doing that. We're actually going through that with my son Ezra right now. He's having a super, super bad time with allergies. And I've noticed in him that he's keeping a really a positive attitude when he could just be complaining and be so miserable. I mean, he's miserable. He could just be totally down, and he's not. And I even pointed that out to him, that he's actually handling it way better than I would have at that age. And so we've been kind of talking through that as a family. So that was on Sunday. And then Sunday night, I had a little episode. So I had a colonoscopy last week, my first one. So I'm about that age. So yeah.
Yeah, that's why we released late last week.
Yeah, exactly. So, but they had to remove a couple of large polyps. I got the news yesterday. They're precancerous, which is not that abnormal, but they're not cancerous, so that's good. So the good thing they got them out. I get to have another one in 6 months now, so I'm super excited. But so they had that, and they had to do some like clips or something because they were pretty big, and there was a chance that they were going to bleed. So on Sunday night, long story short, I had blood in my stool at night. And so it was, the toilet bowl looked like Kool-Aid, put it like that. So it was
sweet.
It wasn't just like a little bit. And I was like, oh, I knew.
It's going to be hard to get that picture out of my mind.
I'm trying to use my words carefully, not talking like medical in my stool. But I knew like, okay, that's not good. And called into the doctor, and he's like, yeah, you need to go to the ER and get, they're probably going to need to admit you so that you can be observed. And the thing is, about six years ago, I had a very traumatic experience with a bleeding ulcer, and passed out at home, went to the hospital, had several episodes where I was like convulsing and like losing consciousness, and had to do blood transfusion. So I've had experience in this type of thing, yet this time it was way different. Were you going to jump in and say something?
Oh, no.
I thought you were.
I'm intently listening to you tell this story for the 40th time. Just kidding.
So, you know, called my dad. He was able to come over. The kids were in bed already, so he was able to come over. So Mimo and I went to the ER, and it was interesting. Because of that recent conversation a few hours before with Martha, I actually was thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? I don't feel bad. Like the last time I passed out, I mean, I felt horrible. My body was really low on blood. So it was a different experience. I'm like, you know what? This is not good. It's kind of unfortunate, but you know what? It could be a lot worse. I don't feel bad. We'll just make the best of it. Mm. So I went to the ER and had a 7-hour journey before I got to an ER bed. So that was.
And this is in the middle of the night. This is not like 7 hours from like 9 a.m. to.
Yeah, this is 10:30 at night. 5:30, I got into an ER bed finally.
Jeez.
It was good. I mean, I even in the ER, after about, maybe 2-3 hours, I was really feeling. I was feeling appreciative that I wasn't in such bad shape as some people in there. Mm. And so I was like, you know what? It stinks that I have to wait, but everybody else has to too. And some people I can tell are in way worse shape. So I'm like, you know what? I'm okay. And it was a few hours in, I was praying, and I feel like the Lord said, you're going to be good. Like you're fine. Don't worry about it. And it really brought me peace. I felt like, you know what? This is different than last time. I'm not going to let my last episode filter this. I feel fine. I'm not going to go to that panic place of like, oh, like remember last time and all this fear. Mm. And so it was interesting. And then when we got into the ER, and then they gave us like the lab results that they had taken earlier, and my blood level was at 14 for hemoglobin, and normal is like 15, my normal is like 15 something. And just for reference, when I passed out 6 years ago, it was like at 10 point something, and it got down to like 7.9 when I had to have transfusion. So, gosh. I mean, my level wasn't that bad. And so even just having all of that time, 7 hours waiting to find out what results were, and then getting in there and being like, oh yeah, that's why I don't feel bad, because it's not like the last time. You don't need to make it the same. And so it was a long, I was there the next, so this is Sunday night, and I was there Monday, and I got discharged on Tuesday. And so it wasn't great. It's not fun being at the hospital. I'm on a liquid diet. I get to try all the different flavors of Jell-O and different broths and stuff. But, you know, I really tried to make the best of it, and with my attitude. But I did get challenged once. I shared this with you, right, Damon? So Tuesday morning, so they throughout the night, they were checking me every 3-4 hours, and you check your blood pressure and whatever. And they came in one time, and my blood pressure was pretty low. And so the nurse kind of had a little bit of panic in her voice, like, are you dizzy? Do you feel lightheaded? And I'm like, no, I just feel kind of droggy. You just woke me up, but I feel good. And then why? And she's like, oh, your blood pressure is kind of low. So I looked up at the screen, and it was like 96 over 60-something. And I'm like, oh, that is kind of low. And then she's kind of doing her thing, and then she left. And then I'm like, wait, did I lose more blood? Am I getting like? Do I feel? Oh, I think I do kind of feel lightheaded. Wait, no. And so I started doing that, and then I had to check myself like that, because I kind of felt like I was going back to 6 years ago, like, because I had to go through this testing every like twice or three times a day to see if my blood levels were up or down. And then I said, I got up to use the bathroom, and she did tell me, like, well, sometimes at night when you're laying still for a long time, it can be low. So. Mm. But just her voice was a little bit of panic, or not panic, but a little concern. So I picked up on that, and something in me wanted to attach to it, right? And so then I'm like, I went to the bathroom. I didn't feel lightheaded, excuse me, at all. I sat back, or laid back down. Another nurse came in later to bring me some water, and I said, hey, could you check my blood pressure again? And she did, and then it was like 120 something over 80, right? And so I was like, okay, yeah, see, you didn't need to go there. It's not the same, but it overall, I had a different shift. I mean, I had a different perspective. I could have lived out of fear and trying to think through all of the what ifs and what now, because you don't know. A lot of it's a waiting game when you're in the hospital for those kind of things. And it was not pleasant, but it was a good experience in some ways. I was telling Damon when I was sharing the story with you yesterday or the day before, I was like, there's probably like 15 sermon illustrations that are going to come out of this eventually. So I'll probably use it in a message at some point, but
nope, you've used them all already. So
there's a few I haven't. So just saving some of those nuggets, but it showed that I felt like, oh, this is good for me, that I feel like I've matured in my connection with the Lord, for one thing, because I think really hearing from him in the ER room when we were just still waiting, I felt like that. He's like, you're good. I got you. Don't worry. This is going to be fine. And so I really felt peace because of that. And I think that's because my spirit was more alert and connected versus letting my soul and my emotions take over and be like, if fear was the driver, I don't think I would have heard that voice. I would have been like, yeah, a lot of other things happening.
I was just gonna joke and say,
no jokes allowed. I'm the only one to bring jokes.
Looks like I'm the only realist left here at this table, huh? I'm proud of you being all positive and seeing everything.
I know, seriously.
It's like, hey, okay,
give yourself another 10 years and a colonoscopy, and then you'll be all right.
Or God's just gonna have to renew your mind too, Brett.
Oh gosh, but yeah, it's funny because my. Wife was telling me, like, I'm going to go visit him and stuff and like that. And she was like, he already left. And then he was like, yeah, I asked some of the people, and they're like, yeah, as soon as he got his people, he was ready to go. So like, he was out of there.
I feel good. I want to get out of here. But, you know, but the other thing I can attest to, too, was Mimo. Because the first one was very traumatic for her. And it was very stressful. Like, you know, seeing your spouse collapse on the floor, like eyes rolled back, calling 911. I mean, it's like, it was stress. It was, and for Eli too, like it, he saw me pass out in the shower and then he handled this really well too. But for Mimo, I told her when we got home on Tuesday, I said, wow, you, I'm impressed how you handled this. And she kind of just smiled at me because I think she saw it too, that it, it was way different. Like last time it just, every time was like, what about this? Did you get this checked? Did you? And it was totally fear driven. Whereas this time she was still doing like, hey, did you do this, do that? But you could tell it was coming from a different place, and that she's matured in her trust and stuff too these last number of years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That was kind of a question I was just going to ask, is that, you know, it's been a few years since in between the two incidents. Do you feel like the process of maturity was more like kind of like, oh, it all happened all of a sudden? Or do you feel like it's been like a journey of little decisions and little choices that have all added up to now being in this place where it's like, oh, I can have a different attitude. I can have a different mentality. I can experience this whole thing totally different than I did before because of these little choices and decisions that have added up to become this big thing.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for me, even that last episode, I didn't have the level of fear that she did, but I was trying to just compartmentalize it and try to stick with the analytical side and just try to focus on any kind of step I could take that way. And so I was kind of trying to suppress the other side, but it was still there and it was jumping in there more. But for Mimo, that was a huge aspect because she actually seen it from the outside, and there was a couple of, yeah, there was one other episode that was really scary. And then that she knew certain things from being in the hospital field that she would equate it with like, well, I've seen somebody like this before and bad outcome, right? And so then she was going to those kind of places. But for me, I think it's been slow steps over time, but I think it's more about my spirit being connected. Full honesty and disclosure, on Monday, I was feeling pretty good, so I was actually more in the numbing state of like, I'm just going to watch TV, I'm going to watch some movies just so I can pass time, and I just want to get through this. And then kind of Monday night, it was kind of like, yeah, but there can be more, because I felt in the ER, I was more connected, like trusting in the Lord. But then once I got the numbers and I was up there and I was feeling like, okay, I'll just make it kind of, I just want to make the time go and let's make it pass, right? But then on Tuesday, I felt kind of convicted in the morning after that little episode with like kind of fear trying to come in. So I just turned some worship music on and I was like just sitting there. And I'm like, oh, okay. I was numbing yesterday, just trying to pass the time, which isn't bad. I mean, you got to pass the time too. But it was from a place of just trying to, that's what I did in the past, more compartmentalized. I'll focus on TV. I'll let things pass. And then once we're good, then we're good. Instead of actually being connected in the midst of it. So then Tuesday, I felt really good. I spent time praying and just kind of worshiping, and that felt better. Like that was a shift from the first time. But so some of those old habits are still kind of there, and in a sense that it's sad. It's not sad to say. It's difficult to say that this is a long journey, this faith journey that we're all on. And I know we want to take big steps, and sometimes there's moments where there are bigger steps, but for the most part, these things are like looked back on and over decades that, oh yeah, I've grown over this decade versus I've grown over this last month. Yeah.
One thing that that stands out to me, it actually connects with a discussion that my small group had, and this idea of alignment, but also like being near to God. And it's just cool, like, hearing from you, like, yeah, even though you had times that you were like, kind of falling, quote unquote, falling back to old habit or numbing, like, there's this alignment and following your spirit where, like, you're connecting with God in all these points. Like, the initial part, like, it's kind of scary. Okay, you're kind of like feeling like you're on the edge of, like, I don't want to go to that place. But whatever, but it's like, okay, and then trying to connect with peace. Then when you're waiting in the room for the ER, it's like, okay, you're not getting it for a long time, but then being at peace and thinking, God, like, it could be a lot worse, right? Like, so in each point, even though there's maybe some teetering or temptation or worry that would creep in, like, then to sitting in the room and then identifying that, okay, maybe I was just trying to get through or fall back, but I need to kind of like reconnect again. Mm-hmm. It's like in all these moments, whether it's high or low or different circumstances, or even after the past, after the point where you're like, oh, I saw the numbers, I think I should be good. It's like, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean I don't need to stay connected yeah. with the Lord anymore. Right. And right, so in right. each point we have access to the Lord to stay connected with him. And I'm sure that's a big way to help our spirits remain mm-hmm. in that connection, so we can live out, and things are different when you do that. And so yep. I think it's cool that you were able to not go through that experience, but then the way that you handled it, it seemed like it was good for you and just for your family and yeah. just, I mean, everybody listening. So,
yeah. And I think that's kind of tying in with the aspect of community that we're trying to foster at church too. Like, it really helped that Mima wasn't going to that place too, because she wasn't going to there. I didn't have to like try to help her fend it off. And so then it wasn't extra like coming at me. But then for, I think because we were handling it well, it helped our kids too. So then it was like this, there was synergy there that we were all had, I think, more connection with the Lord, especially from us as parents. And then that covering over our kids, it filtered down. That was the first time they've ever been to a hospital. Because last time when I passed out, that there was a really bad flu season at that time. And so they weren't letting kids come in. So they saw me through the window. That was it. But they came up, and it's awkward when you're a kid sometimes when you go see somebody in the hospital, but then they got to see me, and I was like, I was normal. I felt fine. And so it was good for them to kind of like, oh yeah, dad's good. Like he's okay. And yeah, so it was not a fun experience, but it was a good experience.
I think it's cool to see you describe both scenarios, how you handled it before and how you're handling it this time, because I think that's a real picture of what Paul's talking about in this section. You know, in the previous incident, it seems, as you were describing it, that you were trying to deal with it out of your soul, right? Like you're trying to do the analytical and trying to do the numbers thing and trying to make sure that you're taking the right steps and everything, where this time it's like, no, I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm going to see what he will. Oh, he says things are going to be okay. Okay, I'm going to have peace in that. Or he wants me to be thankful in this scenario. Okay, I'm going to do that. And so it's cool to see kind of that, the difference, because it really fits with what we're talking about in this section of putting off the old self. Because if you try to handle this one the same way that you did before, all the fear, all the doubt, all those other things might have come in and you would have experienced it differently, where this time it was more like, no, my mindset is going to be different and I'm going to experience this differently. And you were able to experience it kind of out of your new self as opposed to out of the old.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Kyle.
Yeah, no, it's funny that you just brought that up, because I actually just remembered. I was doing some of both, because I actually was journaling that, because I was in the hospital for like a week. So I actually had Mimo bring a journal. So I was writing stuff because I felt times where I was connected. I think some of it I was fending off her Mimo's doubts and fears, and there was still some, like, it was more severe. But I remember when you just shared that time Pastor Barry came and to visit me, like after like the first or second day, and he said, I was spending time with the Lord this morning, and he told me you're gonna be fine, and that it hit me, and I was like. So me hearing the Lord's voice in the ER this time was kind of like equated to that. Because I held on to that. So I didn't have it myself. But when he said that, I was like, oh, there's something there. And then it's interesting because he told me, he's like, I usually don't say that to people when I visit them in the hospitals. I don't say it like that. Like that's pretty bold, like to go say you're going to be fine yeah. when you're seeing somebody in the hospital.
When you're in the ER, yeah. you're going to be okay.
I know. But I didn't know that when he said that. And he told me later, he goes, but I felt like strongly that that's what he told me, and you were going to be fine. So I was like, so hearing that after the fact, it was like, oh, maybe that's why it resonated so much with me, because of the conviction he had when he shared it. So there were some similarities and some things that were good in the old one too, but there was definitely a pattern of the way I cope natural or in my flesh, the way I cope. So I felt that, oh yeah, there were some of those things have been matured. So it was good.
Yeah, so as we're talking about this old man, new man thing, one of the things that we want to recognize too is that the enemy wants us to continue to live out of our old man, right? He doesn't want us to step into this new man. And so Brett kind of shared a story about something that happened this past Sunday, kind of related to that. So I wanted Brett to have a chance to share about that.
Yeah, I mean, even talking about the old man, new man, in a different light, I had the Forge. Shout out to the Forge and all the Forge parents. That's you two.
That's middle schoolers. Yeah, for those that
middle schoolers. I had them. We've been going over communication and intimacy, and so one of the big things that we've been focusing on is listening. And so it's listening to people, like just how we handle our relationships. But this week was more stepping into, okay, how do we listen to other people? How do we listen to the Lord? And then what do we do with it? And so I had taught this little tool acronym to them last year. Some of the kids are new this year who have moved up from children's ministry. It's just a simple acronym of BLESS. And so each letter stands for something. Body, so physically, labor, work, career, and so forth. And so I told them, we're going to go into the sanctuary. And, I said sanctuary, and they're like, what do you mean sanctuary? I was like, the auditorium. I was like, sorry, the auditorium. And we're gonna bless people. We're going to pray for them. And I'll tell you that last year, when I first introduced this, you get the, oh,
yeah, I know.
Right?
My other son was in that group.
Everybody's posture goes from sitting up to like slouching down, just like, dang, like, yeah. Or nerves, or
yeah.
I don't know what to say. What do we do? And so I have them practice and talk through it. But this year, you know, there are some kids that were in the class last year, and there's also some new ones. And so the energy was different this time. There was still some like I got to get over that initial fear, that hesitation. But I told them, hey, you guys have done this. You guys know what to do. And our focus is on listening. And so it's not about you necessarily having the right words or have to come up with something crazy. Like, ask them what they need prayer for. Do you need how are you doing physically? How are you doing emotionally? And I said, and then listen to what they say. They're giving you what to pray for. Then what you're doing is you're listening to God and connecting with God to pray for that person. And it's a blessing. It's like, it doesn't have to be crazy. And so they're like, okay, I think we could do it. They're, you know, they're kind of talking themselves up. Like, is it okay if we, da, da, da. I was like, yeah, like whatever helps you to do it. Like I said, you know what? I guarantee you everybody in there wants to receive a blessing. Mm-hmm. So I said, when you go in there and approach someone there, most of them not going to like be like, what are you doing here? Or you didn't say it right. Or, you know, any of those things. And so we go in there, and long story short, each kid prays for two different people. And one person in the Forge who, you know, this is their first time, they did a good job. I saw them. I was checking out different groups, and but then they start leaving and trying to walk outside. I'm like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, man, I don't think I'm doing it right. Like, I don't think, I just don't know. Like, I haven't done this before. And so I don't think I'm doing it right. I don't know if the other person is like here, like receiving anything. Like I just, and I could tell they're just like flustered and kind of, and I'm just like, whoa, like, hold on. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I was like, it first of all, it's okay. It's your first time. There's going to be some of those doubts or nerves. But I said, trust me when I say, I heard, and I was following you and some of the different groups, and I know for a fact that you did a good job. I said, just your obedience in listening to the Lord and praying for what people were sharing with you. I said, that's all it is. I said that's all it is. And I said, you know, if you heard their response afterwards, they were telling you like, thank you, like that was a blessing, or I bless you too. And so it's effective. They're like, yeah, they were just still flustered. And I said hey, you know this acronym BLESS. I said, do you think that the enemy wants people to be blessed? And then they kind of stopped, and they were like, oh, actually, no, I don't think they would. And so I said, the enemy could be trying to lie to you and tell you that you're not doing a good job. You're not blessing people. People aren't listening. And I said, because the enemy doesn't want the blessings that you're giving out mm-hmm. to go to people.
Right.
So I said, actually, that means you're doing a good job. And they're like, oh, yeah. Like, I could see how they like the enemy wouldn't want that and stuff. And so I was like, you know what? You've kind of done your quote unquote quota. And so if you want to just, you know, remain in the back for the rest of worship and just spend time with the Lord, you can. It's like, or, you know, I'm never going to stop you from praying for more people. Mm-hmm. Up to you. Like, wait, we'll wait till the rest of the people are done and then we'll debrief about it and mm-hmm. stuff. And so we go back in and they're standing around for a while. And then I would say maybe 15 seconds later, they're right back out there praying for more people.
That's awesome.
Coming back. And even after in the debrief, they shared, it was hard for me, but it was cool because it was that person's first time. Mm. The returners, they had a whole different demeanor about them. When I asked them how it was, yeah, it's not that bad. I said, do you remember you guys last year? You guys were freaking out and complaining and beating yourself up. I was like, look at where you are now, this time, right? I said, I'm so proud of you guys. And then I told the people who felt like they were struggling, I was like, you know what? The returners were in your shoes exactly the same place last year, and look at where they are. So I'm proud of you for stepping into it. It's something, yeah, you've done for the first time, but I promise that the more times that we do it, like by next year, you'll feel exactly the same. And so I'm really proud of the Forge and the middle schoolers for stepping into that. And they handled themselves so well. Like I saw, and I was just like, it's a night and day difference. And so I'm glad that they have that tool. And I actually got feedback from people that like, wow, they did a good job. Yeah. They were very receptive. I know I heard them say they listened well. It's like, okay, it's praise God that it's actually getting to them at some point. So that's no, awesome. I'm super proud of them. And I could tell that it raised some of their confidence of like, oh, okay, I could see what Uncle Brett's talking about. I could see why we're doing this. Yeah. And so, there's another person in particular that I can't wait to encourage and affirm, because the difference is like, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, even for me, just observationally, I could see certain kids that I know have been super timid.
Yep.
I could tell there was still some timidity, but they were actually going and doing it without, I would say more hesitation. There was some hesitation, but they were like, I think it was more like, okay, who are we supposed to go? It wasn't like, do I have to go do this? It was more like, who am I supposed to do this with? And then, because I remember some of those mm-hmm. times from last year, and I'm like, wow, those kids they've matured. And that's a testament to like the long view, right? Mm. It's not like, okay, am I better next week? But it's like, look at it from last year. Look at it from 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh man, I've made big steps.
Yeah, the type of questions I was getting from them, I could tell, oh, they're in a completely different mind space.
That's awesome.
Instead of like, do we have to do two? Or like, what if I don't know the right words to say? Or what if I don't? They were saying like, oh, if my partner, because I have them go together.
Yeah.
So it's like, if my partner's praying for someone, I feel like I'm supposed to pray for someone. Like, can I just go pray for? I was like, yeah, like
you can leave your wingman.
Yeah, I was like, you could, if they're good, like you're there for support. But if they're doing it, like you feel like, and so they're like, okay. So I was like, that's completely different question and mindset for them than like, or like, hey, is it okay if we tell them that like, oh, we're with the Forge and we've been practicing this and so we want to do this? I was like, totally. Like that's, so I was just awesome. I didn't know how they were gonna react to it. I knew there was gonna be some like, we're really doing this again, or we're doing this, but it was, I'm proud of the way they stepped up.
That's awesome, Britt.
Yeah, I'm very thankful that you give them these opportunities to step out in their faith and try to bless the other people. Because, you know, when I was growing up, they didn't have that type of opportunities for us. You know, a lot of it was just, we're in our class, we learn, you know, get fed head stuff. But then to actually get some of this experience, it's really good, you know?
And for sure.
Kind of like we've been talking about the last few episodes, it's the know it, experience it, live it, right? Yeah, and so how are we going to get them to the point where they're actually living this out if we're not giving them experiences when they're growing up too?
Absolutely,
Just really appreciate Brett and him creating some of these experiences in a safe space at church so that some of our kids are able to get some really positive feedback, get some really positive experiences so that if the Lord asks them to do that in the real world, you know, in their everyday life, they've already experienced it a little bit, and then now they can go live it.
Yeah, and it's awesome.
And that was something that, you know, my son came home saying, it's like, if I ever have to pray for somebody, I'm just using the blessed thing. Uncle Brett taught us the blessed thing. I'm going to use that.
No, I thought it was cool, too, because he prayed for Mark Sakakura, yeah. Right? And then Mark was standing right back by us in the back area, and then he came up to you and it's like, and wanted to give you affirmation. Or because he came up to me, he's like, what's Damon's son's name again? I'm like, Dylan. He's like, oh, yeah. And then he saw Dylan there. I think he was able to say something to him, too. But mm-hmm. I know he wanted to say it to you, like, just really affirm how well Dylan did. Yeah.
Yeah. So all of these different things. And then, I mean, even they were pumped up because Pastor Barry had given them a lesson last week on listening. And, you know, it was cool too. Kyle and his family came over for dinner this weekend and they had to practice because Pastor Barry was offering a special prize on Sunday if they actually practiced what they had learned the week before. So we had them practice and they didn't complain about it. They just did it. And
yeah.
And I was really proud of them because, you know, like Kyle had said, Ezra has been struggling with some health stuff, but he totally was a trooper and he still stepped into it, even though you could tell it wasn't easy, but he still stepped into it and didn't complain. And he practiced and they both did a really good job of trying to listen.
It was good. Hey, so I don't think Ezra's told you this yet, but I found out from Mimo later that he actually practiced because I thought that was his first time practicing. Mm. And he told Mimo, he's like, yeah, I actually practiced on Eli during the week, and he didn't even know. And I was like, what? So Eli was kind of venting about something, so then he was doing the reflective listening, and he was kind of like, oh, so you mean like this, and oh, so this? And he's like, yeah, so I was actually practicing, and he didn't even know it. And I'm like, dude, good for you, man.
That's how it is. I also want to actually shout out Magnetic, too, because the most recent ministry time when they prayed for people, I told the Forge that, you know, part of this too is like preparing them for Magnetic. And I said, and you saw like how many people went up and was a blessing. And not to scare them, but say like, that's going to be you guys too. So I want to help equip you so you guys can step into that. So I think when they saw that too, they're kind of like, oh yeah, like we could do this. Like we need to do this so that like we're ready to bless people and pray for people too. Because it's like that. It's that shifting too of like, you guys aren't just little kids, right? Like helping them step up and say, no, you guys have impact and stuff like that. So shout out to Magnetic. Thanks for setting a good example. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that because I think you're calling them forward to something. Mm-hmm. It's like you're not just staying at this level. I mean, you're at this level right now, but you're called forward to be young men, young women. And so,
Awesome. After 3 years, I promise you'll be sick of me. So you're gonna want to call forward and step forward. That's awesome.
All right, so I'm going to transition us now. So I've had a long time to talk. Brett's had a long time to talk. I know there was something that was highlighted to you in the passage, Damon. So
I was just going to transition to that myself.
I know you
were,
but I'm going to do it because
you like jumping the gun.
We've had our time to talk. So, but I thought there was a cool part of the passage that we didn't talk about on Sunday that you brought up, and I thought, oh, let's hear your perspective on this. And I thought it was good.
Okay, so one part of the passage that I think when I've read Ephesians, this one's always stood out to me, and I think it's very significant in helping people to understand what it can look like for us to move from the old man to the new man, because I think sometimes when we think about it, it's just like, I got to stop doing this, I got to stop doing that, but I think Paul gives us a kind of a framework to help us to see what it can look like for us to move from one to the other. And so this is from verse 28 of chapter 4. Paul says, "He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need." And so I think there's a few different things that stand out in this section or in this verse. But one of them, the first part is that he's talking about someone who steals. So someone in his old life who stole, right? And so there's kind of a mental way to think of yourself if you're someone that steals, right? It's like, I don't have enough of something that I want and I need to go just take it for myself, right? He's not paying for it. He's saying, I just need to go take it. So there's that aspect of how he sees himself in his identity. And what does he do about it? He goes and he steals, right? So that's his old man. But what Paul is saying is, for him to move into the new man, it's not just, hey, stop stealing, mm-hmm. right? Because I think that's what happens to a lot of time. Stop doing that. Don't do that anymore. Don't sin anymore. Don't do this anymore, right? But then if we don't replace it with something else, then that temptation to continue to live in that lifestyle is still there because we're not replacing it with something else, right? So Paul says, instead of stealing, you should stop that, but then now go out and do work, because when you work with your hands aren't available to steal anymore because they're actually doing something. They're producing something good with your hands, right? And so when you do that enough, right, you instead of having not enough, you'll have more than enough, right? And so then what Paul is saying at the end is that so that he will have something to share with someone who has need, right? So he's producing something with his hands. Now he's going from someone who didn't have enough to someone that has more than enough and is now sharing with others, right? And that's kind of the picture of what the new man looks like compared to the old man. It's not just his actions are different, which they are, right? He's not stealing anymore, right? Instead of stealing, now he's giving away. His actions are different, but also his mentality is different, right? It's, I have more than enough now, where before it's like, I don't have enough. I need to go take what I want or what I feel like I need. Now I have more than enough. I can give, right? And so that's kind of the dichotomy and the transition from the old man to the new man, which I think sometimes gets missed out when we talk about this is a lot of times I feel like, and in a lot of churches too, it's like, just stop sinning. Just stop doing this. Just stop doing that. But if we don't replace it with something else, then it just becomes a battle of, I got to self-control type thing. Right, I got to control myself. I got to, but it makes it a lot easier when we're replacing that with something else or doing something different, right? So, you know, in the past, I've had some friends that might be struggling with something and I'll say, well, what do you do in those situations? And a lot of times I just have to tell myself to stop doing, or don't do it or yeah. whatever, right? And say, well, why don't we do something different? Like go for a walk or go do this or go do that. It's like, oh no, that's too hard. It's like, but then you won't be in this struggle of just trying to fight with yourself. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think, for me, I think I came up with some of those concepts because of reading this passage. And it's like, it's not just stop, have really strong self-control, but it's, this will actually help us to move to a different place. Mm-hmm. If we change our circumstances or we get out of there or we do something different. And so, yeah, I feel like that's helpful in some of these scenarios. Like, for example, if Brett's example with the forge, right? If he just told them, hey, guys, you guys need to go out and pray for people, and they never do it, they never experience it, well, are they going to do it? They're just going to continue to live the way that they've always done it. Right. But now Brett's giving them these opportunities to do that and making it more natural and just seeing the growth that they've had in this past year because they've actually done it. Right. And I think sometimes that's one of the missing parts of it is we're not shifting and replacing the old habit with something new.
Yeah. Like when I'm reading that, I kind of get the image of, or just using the concept of, momentum. So in trying to stop the bad things, so the sin, that's like a backward momentum or a negative momentum, and just trying to stop that gets you to neutral. But when you're just in neutral, then you either stay in neutral and you're not going any direction, or you're going to either drift back to the old one, or you have a chance to go toward the positive direction. So I think Paul's saying, yeah, we want to stop that stuff and get out of the negative direction, but then there's actually a positive direction that's there available to us. And when you're describing that too, it's the concept of momentum. When you get a little bit of positive momentum going and then it builds on itself, and yeah, we could have setbacks and we lose a little momentum, but if we're continually building momentum, and I can equate that with maturity. As you build maturity, you're going to be able to kind of go at a different pace or different direction. You have moments where maybe it slows or maybe even goes backward a little bit, but you've built up that momentum and then you're on a different path.
I think that's huge. It's that, just that aspect of sometimes, well, a lot of times without having something new, the stopping is even more difficult, mm-hmm. right? And so even though the new thing is like good and it's kind of like what we hope for, it also helps us in the stopping. It's not like it's all of those things that when we trade, right? We trade the lie for the truth. It's all of those things. And mm-hmm. through that, God ends up, I mean, in the example, like there becomes an overflow then after that. And so, yeah, I really like how you pointed that out and kind of depicted it.
And I think that's kind of the picture that God has given us for this year as we move forward into becoming the city on the hill, mm-hmm. right? It's the city on the hill is not just a city that doesn't have sin in it, right? Mm-hmm. The city on the hill is the city that's doing things that is making an impact in the community, that's making it so that people are looking at it saying, wow, I see those good deeds. I see these good things that are happening over there, and I want to be a part of that. It's not just, oh, well, there's nothing bad over there, so I want to be a part of that. It's, no, what is the city doing that people are attracted to, that people see? Wow, there's light in that city, and the rest of the world is dark. Mm. What is that light? That's Jesus, right? And so I think Paul is trying to help us to get to that point where this is where we're going as a church. We're going as a church to become the city on a hill mm-hmm. where people are looking at, wow, look at all the good things that are going on in there. And it's not just, yeah, it's not just neutral, or it's not just that there's not bad stuff happening there, but right. It's actually more, wow, there's not bad stuff happening there because all this good stuff is happening there.
Yeah. I think for me, I just want to tie it back into how we started. Like Brett, you brought up, it's about live it, right? We have to live it out. So even this concept right here, it's like we can understand it, but we're in this section of Ephesians where Paul's trying to like get us to like live it out now. It's all this application. So it's a good concept and it's there for us. It's available, but until you start stepping into it and living it out, it's still just a concept and a theory, or so to speak. But I think for all of us, we need to challenge ourselves. We need to challenge each other to continually like step into these new things.
And I think with the Stronger Together, and on top of that, with the image you kind of depicted, Damon, I've witnessed you do it in being a support for someone that wants to stop something and replace it with something. And so it's really difficult to do it on your own.
Yeah,
there's certain things that are like really hard to stop something on your own. And so, you know, if there is something, I want to encourage anybody that, you know, you're trying to break a habit, you're trying to change, you're trying to do something different or find something new so that you can be the person that has the overflow, like go ask somebody to help you or mm-hmm. keep you accountable, or like, hey, when I'm struggling with this, can I mm-hmm. call you? Can I text you? Can you help me with this? Like it's very difficult to kind of just try to do it all on our own and expect that change to switch.
Yep.
That's why we are stronger together.
Woo!
But it's interesting too, because the Stronger Together theme, I feel like it's a theme for our church, but it's also out there too. I've been noticing it a lot, whether it's commercials or advertisements or different things. It's out there. So that concept, it's kind of in our face, but it's also significant because I think it reminds us of not just Stronger Together in terms of just friends or things like that, mm-hmm. but it's Stronger Together with the Lord.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So when I see that, it's like, it's cool to have a bunch of friends that we can do things together with, but it's like, wow, when it's community and with the Lord,
right?
That's when we're really stronger together.
Yeah, you liked when I sent you that picture of the Lakers in a huddle and their caption was Stronger Together. I was like, ooh, okay.
Wow, you having a little switch now? Loyalties are waning?
I was like, look, Damon, they're stronger together.
Damon's just hitting his head on the microphone right now. Like, oh my gosh.
I'm going to get muted.
I can't believe you just brought that up. That was a good one, Brett.
I don't have anything.
I know. How are you going to wrap it up now? How does he say it at the end? Continue. I can't even do it.
I don't got anything. So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.